everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show today, giving Ray Allen a little bit of a break. And we're ready to rock and roll here on the Buckmaster Show. Very full hour. We're going to talk with Rachel Sedgwick, TUSD board member. And then the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into a deep dive, as they say, into really an issue that's very troubling. And that is the whole thing about cybersecurity and just how secure are you now in the cybersphere. But that will come up at about 12:30. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Tucson Unified School District Governing Board member, the newest member of the TUSD Board, Rachel Sedgwick. Congratulations. You now have a degree in law.
I do. Thank you. Hi. How are you?
Very good.
I do, yes.
That was a long process, though, wasn't it?
It was. It was very intense.
Mm-hmm.
3 years.
3 years. What type of law would you like to explore?
Oh, the million-dollar question. I think I'll probably end up doing family law, but I really enjoy litigating.
Mm-hmm.
So I may end up doing something more criminal, prosecution, defense, that sort of thing.
So you'd like to be in a courtroom setting?
I think so. Of course, I also enjoy doing contracts, and so it really is the million-dollar question. What do you want to do?
So how is your tenure going on the TUSD board? Let me see. You were sworn in January, so you're kind of a little more than halfway through the year. How's it gone? What have you learned?
Sure. I've learned a tremendous amount. I've learned, naturally about TUSD, about the individual schools, about Tucson, our community, about politics in Tucson, about local government, how things actually work and not just how they're written down on paper. I've met a ton of people who are just very, very impressive all over Tucson. It's very refreshing. And I've also experienced a great deal of disappointment with people and with our systems and just naturally the way human processes tend to operate.
Are you growing in the job, do you feel?
Absolutely. I think this would teach me a great deal about how to communicate emotionally and, mm-hmm. and to be articulate, how people operate, how egos operate, how I can be better and more effective at working with people.
More of a team player,
more
perhaps?
More of a team player, mm-hmm. and more efficient, more effective at being a leader.
Well, you and your colleagues have a very big decision that will be facing you. And of course, TUSD has had kind of a troubled past, to put it mildly, when it's come to superintendents. I think I saw today that over the past 10 years, there have been 8 permanent and interims. The current interim is superintendent now, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, who is one of the 3 candidates who have some presence, the 3 finalists who have some presence to TUSD, some connection. There's also a 4th candidate. She's the outsider, Donna Hargens, and she resigned under fire last month from her district in Kentucky. That district, the governor said the district was an unmitigated disaster. Looking at this group, what are some of your feelings? And I know you can't really get into specifics because that's kind of a board decision.
Sure. Well, there are some things that probably don't surprise people that much. I was hoping to get a few names from outside the district, potentially from outside the state, more than just the one.
Miss Hargens.
I think she's a doctor.
Dr. Hargens.
Yeah. That would be my preference. Of course, people view me as an outsider, so I don't see outsiders as a bad thing. In fact, I think that it could help our district a good bit. And we do have these, very viable candidates. And I personally am not in much of a hurry to get through the process just because I see that our community put forward Dr. Trujillo. It means to me, it suggests that he's doing a good enough job. He has some support in the community and certainly on the board. And so we don't have to hurry through this process.
The board members didn't really have input into this search committee, did they? Is that correct?
Correct. We each appointed 3 people.
The search committee people.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then they went and they They had their meeting. Unfortunately, they didn't have any public discussion about the reasons why they chose the people that they did. So it's all very mysterious.
So the board members really got this list, right before, I guess, the meeting the other night, right?
Yes, and at the meeting.
And there could have been, as my friend Dylan Smith reported at TucsonSentinel.com, the board members legally should have announced the names right then, but you said it would be a professional courtesy to wait a day.
Well,
I'm not saying you did, but I guess that was the board decision to wait a day.
Yes, and, you know, important to remember that we often rely on advisors, legal advice, and in this case, there are different arguments to be made, but that there really were no candidates until we came out of that meeting, and then just as a sort of sign of respect to the candidates, to call them and let them know that they are candidates, that all of our candidates are finalists, and that their name is going to end up in the news. And that's, I think, in an effort to protect the process so that people are not afraid to apply for a superintendency in TUSD.
Are you ready to say, if none of these candidates really meet what you're looking for, are you ready to say, let's go back to the drawing board?
I am, yes. I thought that the board initially, and I do believe I said this during public meetings, that I thought the board should be the superintendent search committee, and I was alone on that. And so then I thought that I would appoint myself to the committee just as a, you know, newly elected representative. I'm very, very new, but it seemed that that's sort of why the committee, the community chose the board members they chose. They want for us to be involved in these processes. But I was alone again. I was, outvoted 4-1. And then they didn't want for any of us to, the board chose not to have any board members on that committee.
And you think that was a huge mistake?
It was, I didn't make a big fuss over it. I think that I just sort of rolled over and agreed to let the board as a whole make this decision. But now I recognize that people are, we've got three candidates from within the district essentially, or that are very, very familiar, quote unquote, insiders. And maybe we would have gotten more new blood, if you will, if some more outsiders or if the board had been deciding.
Yes, we have one of the candidates is the chief academic officer of American Leadership Academy. That's a chain of charter schools in Metro Phoenix and Las Vegas. That's Stephen Trejo.
Trejo.
And prior to that, Stephen Trejo was the principal at TUSD C.E. Rose Pre-K School for 13 years. Then there's Maria Marin. Mm-hmm. Maria has been the director of TUSD's elementary and pre-K-8 schools since 2014, so she's already a part of the district. And then Dr. Trujillo, and then, as we mentioned, Dr. Hargens, I think that's the way it's pronounced, who resigned under fire back in Kentucky. So we'll see how this all plays out. The public, there's going to be sessions with the public coming up next week, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. So, well, let's move on to another topic, though. I want to talk a little bit about the Tucson Education Association. You have made a comment during a board meeting, I think it was June 27th, that you said maybe we need to take a look at this Tucson Education Association as the principal bargaining group, I guess the only bargaining group, right?
Yes.
At TUSD. What would you like to see happen here?
Well, teachers have been reaching out to me since I began running with their feedback about what's going on in TUSD, and I was left with the very clear impression that teachers do not feel supported. And so the closer I look, the more I understand the policies upon which teachers operate. Those policies are really bargained for. They're negotiated by the TEA Leadership Committee and TUSD administrators, our head of negotiations. And the bargain for agreement is not very strong. And if you read through the agreement, it really doesn't do a good job. It doesn't provide many protections for the teachers. Many of the provisions in the agreement are outdated. Teachers, for example, are guaranteed chalk.
Are guaranteed what?
Chalk.
Chalk. For the blackboard?
For a blackboard. But of course, most teachers don't have blackboards.
No.
That, you know, they have the dry erase board or they have a Promethean board.
That might have been put in there 40 years ago.
That's right. And the justification for leaving those sorts of provisions in was, well, if we take them out, it might be very difficult to put them back in the future if the law ever changes or if circumstances change. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And so teachers have been coming out and they contact me. Teacher leaders have let me know. They've come up with different solutions. I've sort of thrown them out into the community. None of them stuck until there is this, I find out from a teacher who she found out has been meeting in town with all sorts of teachers, that there used to be dual representation up to about 5 years ago in TUSD. So this is a way that if we bring back the Tucson Federation of Teachers, that hopefully more teachers will agree to have them represent them. And so then the 12% of teachers that are represented by TEA, coupled with another percentage of teachers who will be represented by AFT, we can get some more teacher
couple
voice.
Couple of gives two voices.
That's it.
So can the board just do that? Make a have this I don't know how this exclusive arrangement works. Is it a year-to-year deal or?
The teachers have to do it.
Oh.
It's the teachers do it. They certify their bargaining unit.
Okay.
They decertify. And they come to me for help. And if the board can help, I've been asking, what can the board do? Is this something that the board does? Mm. And so I'm also trying to get educated.
Mm-hmm.
But people are very passionate about it. And when you ask questions, they automatically jump to a place of passion.
Hmm. One of our Facebook friends just said the TEA contract guarantees that every teacher gets a quill. That's kind of funny. And papyrus, I guess, to write with it. Just a joke, folks. Going along with the chalk. Now, the chalk is real, right?
It's real.
Okay.
It's real.
Let's take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition, on this August the 10th. Rachel Sedgwick sticks around for another segment. If you have a question or a comment, Rachel would be happy to hear from you and entertain that question or comment. 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select Wholesale Installation Company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC-CR6030-5859, enhancedopenings.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, United States Representative Tom O'Halloran from Arizona's 1st Congressional District. The Friday Roundtable features Joe Ferguson of The Star and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Our Friday focus interview tomorrow, Congressman Tom O'Halloran. He represents in Congress the 1st District of Arizona, which is the biggest district, I think, in the United States outside of Wyoming's one district in itself. But basically, if you take away Wyoming, I think District 1 is the biggest, from like Marana and Oro Valley all the way up to the Utah border. So we'll talk to him tomorrow on the show. But right now we're talking with Rachel Sedgwick, board member, TUSD. Rachel, what does TUSD? We all know when we hear how bad things are, it's a horrible district. People say it's a horrible district. What does TUSD do right?
I'll tell you, some of our elementary schools are very, very high performing. They're doing an excellent job of closing achievement gaps and achieving far, far beyond expectation. We have our university high school is nationally ranked, and I think we're working on learning from the schools that are very successful, and sort of bringing their applying what they know to some of the other schools. Of course, some schools are very unique, but we do elementary very well, and we have a lot of support from the community in some of our schools.
This enrollment decline, I know, is very troubling to you. The enrollment, when I came to town a million years ago, it's about, I think, almost 70,000 students, down to now less than 50,000. What can be done to sort of stop the hemorrhaging?
Well, I think that it will require a revolution, potentially, just great change very quickly. To start is to change the culture, to become a district that operates by a customer service mentality. We serve our teachers, we serve our families, and to try to, we've got to clean out our central administration. One of the things that TUSD has a harder time doing is keeping up with the change. And a lot of what TUSD does was begun long, long ago. And we do it that way because we've always done it that way. And it's time in 2017 with the pace of life that we live because of the internet and all of the other technological developments, TUSD has just absolutely got to figure out how to morph quickly. And I think that that unfortunately will mean a lot of people probably will go there. You know, we have fewer students, we need fewer people to serve them, and more technology.
And some of your top administrators have gone.
Some of the top people have gone, and we will not replace some of them. Others, of course, we have to replace. The Director of Human Resources, for example, was absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. Chief Financial Officer, Director of Finance. And so those people are in place, and we will continue moving forward. Of course, one of the tricks about TUSD is that TUSD prefers to promote from within. And this is not a way to bring about great change very quickly. Hmm. But it's very difficult to change that. And I think a lot of people really dislike me because I'm trying to change their traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And they love their traditions. And I'm not as attached to them as they are because I've not been in TUSD for, 30 years.
So you have a target on your back from the people who feel that you're making too many waves.
Yes. I think that's a nice way to say it.
Have they attacked you personally? Angry people?
Yes, sure, absolutely. Mm. Angry phone calls, angry emails. Mm. The more depressing part is that they have decided to attack my car as well.
What?
Which is just depressing. But
I have not heard this. What happened with your car?
There are just little things, and I wasn't sure that I wanted to say anything. I don't want to encourage
anyone. Well, no, the first I've heard of this was, did somebody key the car?
Yes, my car was keyed, and then they started taking my hubcaps that are plastic and worth $5. And then yesterday I discovered a hole, a gouge in the side of my tire, and the tire man said that it looked like it had been done. Intentionally. I'm hoping that I'm imagining these things, but...
Were these done while you were in a board meeting?
I'm not certain, but...
But you suspect it?
I do suspect it. Mm. Unfortunately, I really hope that that's not the case, and it's just my... I'm just being very suspicious.
But there have been no personal threats against you.
Not that people would come after me, but they do, call names and that sort of a thing. It's the school board. I was warned before it ever started, so.
And you're not being paid well for this job.
No, not exactly.
It's like zero pay. It's a volunteer job, my goodness. Well, I'm sorry that that's been happening with your car. That's horrible. Somebody keys the car and... Now it sounds like there's a tire issue. Are you going to vote or get out there and push for this bond, the TUSD going to the voters with the bond? You didn't really want this to go to the voters. You were in the minority vote on that. But now that it's there, you're going to push for it?
The board chose to go for it, and I will support it 100%. We absolutely do need the funds. I understand why there might be doubt in the community. And so I'm just trying to assure people that we really are 150% focused on being more efficient, on being more effective, that we are moving behind the scenes, and that we should start to see the results very soon. Unfortunately, it is a process, and some things you can't force it too quickly because then you risk destroying the process itself. And so we are doing everything we can to improve things just yesterday.
Well, okay. We've only got a couple of minutes left with Rachel Sedgwick. And getting back to what we began our conversation, TUSD, I think, this hire is the most critical hire in decades for TUSD to lead this district. I mean, because you've been talking about change. Whoever is going to be leading this district has to be on board with radical changes have to be made.
Absolutely.
You agree with that?
I do, yes.
Yeah. And if the person is not ready to do that, you will have no problem sending this back.
That's right. We don't have to be in a hurry. Dr. Trujillo is doing a nice job. He's easy to work with. I feel that he's been generally just very successful, and so we don't have to hurry through this process. If it takes 2 weeks to find the perfect person, great. If it takes 6 months, that's okay too, because we have someone in place who can handle it for a while.
Now, how can people get a hold of you in a constructive manner? How can they reach out to you and give you their opinion?
It's best to email me at the rachel.sedgwick@tusd1.org, and you can find that email at tusd1.org under the governing board information. You can also contact me through Facebook. The Facebook messages don't operate like emails, and so it might get lost. Mm-hmm. So if I don't get back to anyone by Facebook, I recommend the TUSD email. And I can also share my personal email for any people who would prefer just using personal email addresses.
And you still have some room on your Facebook for some more friends.
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. Rachel Sedgwick, good to see you again. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk cybersecurity next. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They do just a really great job, the tourism people over there, in promoting one of the most beautiful areas of the southwestern United States. In fact, I was Bob Dio, our engineer producer, was sharing with me before we went on the air today that he and his wife have heard me talk about Silver City and Grant County, and they're going to try it out. And this happens a lot. A lot of our listeners have never been over there. They have a great experience, only 3-hour drive from Tucson. And here's the good news. It's 15 degrees cooler in that area. Now, the reason for that is the elevation. It's kind of like the same elevation as Denver, about a mile high, anywhere from about 5,500 to 6,500 feet. So this time of year, you get some real pleasant, mild days, and then the nights really cool down. So check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, all the places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City. Well, in his new best-selling book, author Alexander Klimberg writes that we are not nearly as worried as we should be about internet-born mayhem in our increasingly interconnected world. The book is titled The Darkening Web, and the thesis is that the internet, conceived as a tool for advancing freedom, now puts democratic societies at risk. Joining me in studio is Tucson-based attorney Kathy Winger, who specializes in data security and represents companies, banks, credit unions, and individuals in commercial and corporate transactions. She is one of the most in-demand speakers on the topic of cybersecurity. Her speech that she gives, and she's always available and willing to talk to groups here in town. It's titled Cybersecurity and Data Breaches from a Business Lawyer's Perspective. Kathy, welcome back to the show. We had you on a couple of months ago, didn't have enough time, so this time I've budgeted pretty much 25 minutes with you so we can kind of dive deep, as they say. Good to see you.
It's good to see you too, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
What did you think of the review on Mr. Klimberg's book? I find it fascinating, this darkening web, and about some of the history that our own military in developing kind of tools to combat cybersecurity, the hackers got some of this information.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, this was interesting for me, too, because as I mentioned when I spoke to you about this before, mm-hmm. I tend to look at cybersecurity from the perspective of my clients. I'm a business attorney, and I look at it as what kind of risk my clients are dealing with in the cyber arena. This article and this book, which I was able to skim through a bit as well, really looks at cybersecurity from the offensive perspective and where things stand from an offensive perspective and what's happening. And that was interesting to me. I don't focus a lot on that. So it was kind of fascinating to read what the author had to say about it. I've looked at some other articles in the area that are similar. And again, I'm left where I unfortunately am always left in this area as there are more questions than answers. But in terms of cyber warfare, It's really offensive as opposed to cybersecurity or what this gentleman says in his book. He calls it information security, which is defensive. So this is really a focus on offensive and the government's involvement in it. But one of the things that's unique about cybersecurity, whether it's offensive or defensive, is businesses and individuals are involved as well. It can't just be the government, and it isn't just the government because of the internet and how free and open it is and how widely used it is. So really, it's important to understand what's going on the offensive front just as much as what's going on the defensive front.
And since we last talked, there were these cyber attacks in May and June that shut down hospitals. This was really a bad situation in the United Kingdom, and it carried over to some areas here in the United States. ATMs were affected in the Ukraine, railways in Germany, tens of thousands of other targets around the globe where this malware was basically holding individuals and companies as a ransom.
And a couple things about that. One of the things that I learned in reading the book was that the virus or the malware that they used for that attack had been originally developed by the United States government as an offensive cyber tool. And through hacking, bad actors were able to get a hold of it, whether they're government actors or state actors or private actors were able to get a hold of it and use it in a way that caused harm. It causes harm, and it caused harm not only to governments but to private businesses. So it's a perfect example of the interplay between private businesses and government and state actors and how that's going to be sorted out, and an example of malware or malicious code that was originally used for purposes really of national security that got into the wrong hands and was able to be used against the country and against other countries as well. And then the third thing about that attack, which I thought was interesting, and again played up the connection between the government and private industry in this area, what that malware did was exploit vulnerabilities in Microsoft systems. Mm-hmm. So the government knew how to exploit the vulnerabilities and use those vulnerabilities to formulate the malicious code. Well, you have Microsoft involved in it because it's their system mm-hmm. and their vulnerabilities. So you have a private industry with a product that they produced that had vulnerabilities that the government was then able to turn around and use on a national security basis, and that bad actors were then able to get a hold of and use to attack other countries. And in the process, of course, businesses are going to be affected. Banks, if ATMs are affected, banks are affected, hospitals, all sorts of businesses were affected. So it really is a perfect example of the interplay between offensive cybersecurity, defensive cybersecurity, the government, and private businesses, and how they can all sort of get thrown into the pot.
And this malicious computer code was developed, as you say, mm-hmm. by the U.S. National Security Agency, and the CIA was involved. So then it gets in the wrong hands. And, you know, you mentioned banks mm-hmm. and Microsoft. What about liability for these big companies?
Well, and I talked about that a little bit before. That's sort of my soapbox that I stand up on and talk about cybersecurity. And when I give my presentation, that's really my focus, is what exposure do companies have in this area? I may have mentioned this before, but I originally started talking about it because of my concern for the types of clients that I deal with and their exposure. And because of the fact that there is real exposure. And so in this area, the exposure would be the same because you have, even though the information, the malware, the malicious code was gotten into the hands of and used by hackers, so it wasn't legally obtained and their system was hacked, there's still exposure for the companies whose system got hacked through their customers and regulators and parties who shared their information with the company, and then their information fell into the wrong hands. So they have exposure that was in essence not created for that purpose, but the exposure is still there. And that's one of the things that's important for me to get an idea to get across to businesses, to understand that it's there. And I saw a great analogy in reading an article that was similar to this. It talked about the interplay between government and private businesses, and talked about the fact that neither party could be completely responsible. So, and the analogy that I liked because it was simple to understand was the government expects Walmart to lock its doors,
right,
you know,
right.
And to, you can't just be completely lackadaisical about it and say, well, you know, this was the government.
You have to bear some responsibility. You can't leave the door wide open.
That's right. But on the other hand, the government doesn't expect private businesses to negotiate with state actors over cyber events.
Right.
So it really is the interplay of both of them, but the exposure for businesses is there. And having it be offensive or defensive or the government's, that doesn't take away that exposure. It still exists.
Let's go to the live line. Jim Kelly has called us at 790-2040. Jim, go ahead. You're with Kathy Winger.
Hi, Kathy. Kathy, I'm wondering if you could tell people what MFA is, VPN, PKI, and if there are ways to personally, like encrypt your emails, encrypt your transactions online, whether it be with Amazon or anybody else, so you could lock down your computer and it not be hacked. Are there personal ways that can happen?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for that question. And there are. And the different acronyms that you named, some of them I'm familiar with, some of them I'm not. VPN is, I believe, a virtual and network provider that you can set up on your own and you can use personally. The other acronyms that you mentioned, I would suspect, are something similar to that. But I think your question about what you can do personally in terms of protecting information is a good one, and I think it makes sense in light of what I just talked about, the expectation that businesses will protect it too. You know, there are things that you can do. There are sort of best practices for individuals. In terms of personally encrypting your information, I'm not familiar with whether individuals are capable of doing that, and I haven't ever seen anything that imposes that expectation on them. So that, I think, is a little extreme for individuals. Businesses, on the other hand, a best practice is encrypting information, and that's pretty standard. And so when their practices are examined because there's been a breach or something has come up, that's going to be one of the things that's looked at, whether or not they did encrypt information. But for individuals, one of the things that I like to point out to people, because this is something that you know, and I'll admit here that I'm guilty of it too at times, but I try to be less so. But this is something that I think a lot of people do that is really not recommended, and that's using public internet. You know, going to Starbucks and using their internet, that's not viewed as safe.
Right.
And I saw a speaker, I spoke at a conference in Las Vegas in May, and the keynote speaker was a woman who was the chief information officer under President Bush in the White House. And she compared public Wi-Fi to a dirty toothbrush on the ground.
Mm.
And she said, you know, would you think of picking up a dirty toothbrush from the ground and putting it in your mouth and brushing your teeth with it? And of course, everyone in the audience was horrified
cringing,
by
yeah.
that idea. And then she said, that's what you're doing if you use public internet.
Right.
And so I thought that was an interesting analogy, and it really brought the point home, because, you know, I think most of us in the audience before had used it. So I think that's one thing that people can do. And then the other thing that I like to focus on, and I focus on this with my businesses and with individuals, is to be aware of who you're sharing information with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're getting emails and they're asking for information, you know, personally identifiable information like social security numbers, bank accounts, things like that, don't share it. You know, don't share it willy-nilly. Confirm with an organization that it's the actual organization that you're sharing it with, and that they want the information. Because I think many people run into problems in that. area, and it's really just a matter of awareness, you know, just thinking, look at information and your personal information as something that you need to protect, and you need to take steps to protect it. And I think if people do that, a lot of it are common sense type things that you can do to keep it safe.
All right. Kathy Winger sticks around for another segment, 790-2040. If you have any questions about cybersecurity and protecting yourself, now would be the time to call in. We're going to take our break right here on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Thanks to Green Things for their support of our program. They took 4 acres, Jan and Jack, the owners, and they've expanded it to 13. And it's a beautiful location along the Rito Riverwalk, 3384 East River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a destination for gardeners in itself. And they've got these free workshops. The free schedule, or the schedule of the free workshops, is available at greenthingsaz.com. Check that out. And stop by. So if you need any kind of gardening supplies, now that the rains have come, things looking better in the garden, I know I'm thinking about fall planting, need some roses, and I need some geraniums. So I'll be paying a visit very soon to Green Things. Kathy Winger is with us. Kathy is a Tucson-based attorney. We always love having her on the program. We talk about an issue that really concerns a lot of people, and that's nobody wants their identity stolen through the computer and the whole thing with cybersecurity. And Kathy, we were talking a little bit about ways to protect yourself. One area is, if it doesn't look right, do not open an attachment.
Absolutely. That's very good advice, Bill, and it's so true. And it really applies to individuals in their personal worlds and also in the business world, because a huge majority of people or companies that suffer breaches are their employees opening emails that they shouldn't have. So you want to always look at where it's coming, not from the name of the person, but the actual site.
Because so you're talking about employees that at work,
absolutely,
who open something suspicious, and it puts the whole company at risk.
That's right. It gets into the whole company's system. And I heard, you know, a perfect example. One of the things I talk about and I encourage for business owners is training their employees on this. Mm. Because really, their employees are the first line of defense. If you can have someone who's a receptionist open an email and your whole company system goes
suddenly
down,
everybody's exposed.
Exactly. So training and understanding and being careful is just so critically important. And the emails are so deceptive. I've come close myself to opening ones that I shouldn't have opened. But because it looks like it's from someone that I know, it looks like it belongs to me, that someone should have sent it. It's only by looking at the source that I realized, hey, you know, there's something funky going on here. And there are some emails that come out that you don't even need to open them. Just taking your mouse over them, the virus can come in through
that way.
It is just hugely important to do that. And that's really the human equivalent, or the human factor, excuse me.
Another question for you, Kathy.
Yeah.
Andy is on the live line. Go ahead, Andy. We're with Kathy Winger.
Thanks, Bill. So, Kathy, I'm not very computer savvy myself or anything like that, but I do use a debit card sometimes around at the stores, and so like Target or something. And so, you know, Target got hacked into, and they find a way back to your bank. But my question is, you hear about these companies, and I guess LifeLock is the most well-known, how they can profess to protect your information and so forth. Wouldn't you think that, I'm sure the banks have some sort of a protection, but if companies are out there that can protect your identity, wouldn't the banks, I mean, aren't they responsible, and shouldn't they have some firewall to that's at least as good as an independent company?
Well, yes, that's true. They are on the hook, and they do have protections that are built in. And the way that the laws are set up, you know, the consumers have the most protection. So banks, you know, if there are fraudulent charges, if there are data breaches, the obligation is on them to replace the cards, to issue new cards, and the fraud losses are on go to the banks under the Truth in Lending Act.
They're kept to a real minimum.
Absolutely,
fraud
it's the $50 fraud loss. Yes,
yeah.
So there is that protection out there. The companies that offer the protection for a fee, they generally are geared towards consumers and to provide consumers with help and support in the event there there is a data breach or there is a fraud loss. So there is some value to those companies. I'm not going to say one way or the other whether I recommend them or not.
Right, right.
But that's really what they do. But the consumers in this area have the most protection. However, it's still a hassle if your credit card information is stolen, if your Social Security number is stolen, even though your exposure's not there, it can be a pain in the neck to get it all straightened out. You need to know how it's being used. So it still does cause problems for consumers, but ultimately it's the burden is on the companies like the banks. Target got into a lot of trouble for that breach, and they now have sort of top of the line security and data security as a result of the losses that they suffered. So you're right in that the companies bear the loss, but it still can be a hassle for individuals, and I think that's where the services arise from, helping individuals deal with that hassle if they feel like they need it.
Kathy, the time just goes so fast.
I know. I can't believe
you back
it.
Again
I know.
Soon here. Where can people find you if they'd like you to speak to their group?
Absolutely. My telephone number is 520-391-4475. I can be reached at email at kathy@kdwinger.com. And my offices are here in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay. Kathy, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you on the program, and we'll have you back very soon. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 5, then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, me, Buckmaster, back with you with our Friday Focus interview with Congressman O'Halloran tomorrow at 12:04. On behalf of Bob on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.